The coronavirus has closed lots of big events and moved some colleges out of their classrooms. Welcome to the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. COVID-19 cases continue growing across South Florida. This week, the first case was confirmed in Miami-Dade County. More were found in Broward County. Who is being tested? When could more tests get here? Is the healthcare system in South Florida ready for more infections? Miami Beach canceled spring break, hoping to discourage people from visiting. A cruise line is docked. Baseball, basketball, hockey, and soccer all suspending professional games. Plus, how are schools handling the threat? Some colleges are moving classes online. Your phone calls, your questions, all ahead on the South Florida Roundup here on WLRN. Our program is made possible by Willie the Bee Man, bee removal specialist. Welcome to the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening and supporting public radio. The coronavirus has reached South Florida. As of this morning, there are 11 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Broward County, which is in the state of emergency. The entire state of Florida has been declared in a state of emergency. There are two confirmed cases of the virus in Miami-Dade County. The county also declared a state of emergency this week. And this morning, we've learned that the Miami mayor, Francis Suarez, has tested positive for COVID-19. The mayor will be joining us in a matter of moments to discuss his situation. Just as soon as he does join us, he will speak with him and find out, frankly, his condition and what his prognosis is. In the meantime, we are joined in studio by Dr. Evan Boyer. He's chief of emergency medicine for Broward Health. Dr. Boyer, thanks for joining us on the South Florida Roundup. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having me.
So what do we know about those folks that have tested positive in Broward County?
Well, so far there has been positive cases like you described, and fortunately, the majority of patients who contract the illness and the virus will go on to have very mild symptoms and should do quite well and recover without any incidents at their homes.
Has Broward Health treated any of the COVID-19 patients?
So currently, like the rest of the health systems in the area, we take a look at all patients that are coming in with whatever symptoms they may or may not have. If certain patients fall into a specific category where they might be eligible for testing, then we do appropriately test those patients.
You're able to do those tests at the health facilities for Broward Health?
So the dynamics as it stands currently is that step one is to identify a patient that might be a patient under investigation, how we refer to it, and then we...
PUI is the Department of Health acronym
That's the code word there.
So
after identifying that specific patient, then we work in collaboration with local epidemiology and the Department of Health. And then we obtain the swabs, and then the current workflow is that they are then brought to a center in Miami, and that's where the actual test takes place.
That's the Department of Health lab that's in Miami. No private commercial labs have taken tests yet in Florida, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, there is commercial labs that are becoming operational to be able to run the test, but that's a separate entity to the health system.
Right. Does Broward Health have the lab capability to do those tests if they're approved?
Right. So currently, our workflow is that the tests are going to the DOH center in Miami.
Regarding patients, and I'm not asking you to divulge any personal information at all. We know that that remains private. But have any of the COVID-19 cases come through the Broward Health facilities?
Yes, we have had positive cases.
And how what can you tell us about just the course of treatment for those cases?
Sure. So the majority of patients are resting comfortably at home, just under home quarantine with symptomatic therapy.
Something like Tylenol, anti-fever reducers, that kind of thing?
Yeah, because, you know, the symptoms are quite consistent with what you would see with the common cold or influenza.
Yep.
And patients would, you know, have fever. So we recommend, like you said, Tylenol, Motrin, keep up with your fluids, and just to take rest And if you look at the data, the overwhelming majority of patients recover without a problem.
Right. And how closely do you monitor those patients that have come through the facility that you've sent home to isolate?
Sure. So we would do follow-up phone calls, see how they're doing, and then obviously always allow for an open chain of communication where if they have deterioration, they could, by all means, give us a call. We'll talk them through it.
I think Mayor Suarez is with us now on line two. Mayor Suarez, is this you?
Yes, it is. Is this Tom?
It is Tom. Yeah, Mayor Suarez, thank you for spending a little bit of time with us. Tell us about your diagnosis and your prognosis, sir.
So I was informed today by the Department of Health that I tested positive for coronavirus. I was in a room in close proximity to at least one and maybe more people that tested positive for the coronavirus. The Department of Health called me and asked me to come in and take a test. I know Mayor Jimenez also took a test. I think I'm not sure if Governor Scott has. I know he went into self-isolation. And I was told today that the test came back positive. You know, I feel good. I feel healthy. Have a little bit of a runny nose. You know, obviously dealing with the normal anxiety that anybody could imagine with respect to family. And I'm in isolation right now, and I may have to move to a different place. But you know, I'm in good spirits. I will be journaling, and for the public, because I want, you know, as we transition from you know, taking preventative measures for people to get the virus. And of course, I strongly advocate for those preventative measures of safe distance, you know, social distancing, washing your hands intensely. In my case, I come into contact with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I also want people to understand is now that I have the virus, right, I want them to see what it's like. And I want, as a public person, I want them to hopefully maybe mitigate their fears, because I know there's a lot of fear and anxiety with relation to this.
Mayor Suarez, as you mentioned, you do meet a lot of people, and that led obviously to the transmission of this virus. I imagine you've been in contact with other city administrators, employees, elected officials. Are they now taking precautions since you've tested positive?
Yes. So, you know, obviously the first thing I did was inform the elected officials in the city of Miami. We have a continuing operations plan to make sure that we have continuity of operations for the government. That's the most important thing. You know, anyone who has come into contact with me and is showing symptoms since Monday, or has come into contact with me since Monday and is showing symptoms, should get tested.
So it's those two it's those two qualifications, Mr. Mayor?
Correct. It's in close contact, either touching or if I coughed or sneezed, which I don't think I've done, within a 6 foot proximity, and are displaying symptoms, they should get tested. If they don't fall into either of those criteria, if they just had close contact with me, they should go into self quarantine. So that's the message that we're putting out. Obviously, on my social media, I put out a video which explains who to call if you have questions, what websites you can get information for. The concern I have is for people not to panic and not necessarily to go get tested if you don't need to get tested, and I'll tell you why. The first reason, obviously, is supplies. But the second reason is you don't want to be in a room. You don't want to be in a room if you don't believe that you're – if you're not showing symptoms, you don't want to be in a room with other people who may have symptoms, you know, because it's most likely that you'll be in an aggregated room before you're tested.
Mr. Mayor, we're just a little short on time here. I apologize for interrupting, sir. How long do you expect to be in isolation? You mentioned you may have to move. What's the criteria for you moving, and without divulging the address or something, what kind of facility do you plan on moving to?
I would be moving to another facility that's in isolation is basically controlled by the fire department. And then my family, my home will be decontaminated. My family will probably move back into my home because they have to be isolated from who they were with, because they've been in close contact with me for obvious reasons. So we're working through all that protocol. And you know, we're again, one of the things I'm going to be doing is journaling, just so that people understand what it's like now if you have the infection, because I think that's important as well.
I hear you. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez has tested positive here on this Friday with the coronavirus. Best of luck, Your Honor.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Dr. Boyer, real quick, as you heard Mayor Suarez talk about kind of his protocol, what are your thoughts about that? Is that appropriate?
Well, I'll tell you, for starters, I applaud him for calling in because, you know, the listeners could all hear that he's in good spirits. He sounds good. I think that's going to do wonders to actually mitigate some of the fears that people may have. If I test positive, am I going to acutely deteriorate? And as they could see or hear, if you will, that he sounds quite good. And, you know, he hit the nail on the head with recommendations of who should be tested, who were in his close proximity. And he's doing what he needs to do as far as self-quarantine goes. Some people have more resources than others as far as self-quarantine logistics.
But you heard that with the mayor being able to go to a fire department facility, not open to all of us. Doctor, we got to pause here, but I appreciate you. You're with us for the whole hour. Dr. Evan Boyer, Chief of Emergency Medicine at Broward Health, as we continue here talking about COVID-19 and the situation here in South Florida. You are listening to the South Florida Roundup here on WLRN. Back in a moment. And we are back on the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. Thanks, as always, for your support for public radio. We're talking about COVID-19 here in South Florida. We have Dr. Evan Boyer, Chief of Emergency Medicine at Broward Health. He is along with us. Dr. Boyer, some listener questions and comments. I've got a runny nose, but I won't get tested just yet, or my medical professional doesn't think that I needed to get tested. I may have a small fever. What is the criteria for a listener who may not be feeling well to go to their healthcare provider and request a COVID-19 test, and what should they expect?
So in this current landscape, the conversation could be either through their primary care doctor, or if they're looking for additional information, they could speak with their local Department of Health, and they can actually help tease through some of those questions and help potentially mitigate a reason to present to an emergency department or your primary care doctor's office. If through that series of questions through the Department of Health, they felt that they might have been at a higher risk, then they could make appropriate recommendations for them to go to a facility to do testing.
Have the emergency facilities at Broward Health seen an increase in patients and in people coming in over the last couple of weeks as the coronavirus has begun to emerge?
So, good question. As of now, the patients are starting to kind of trickle in, if you will, as far as an increased volume, but certainly not at the surge that people may think at current.
Joy Fletches is with us now, reporter for our partner, the Miami Herald. He covers the city of Miami. Joy, we had Mayor Suarez on just a few moments ago, as you know, tested positive for the coronavirus, says he's going to be journaling his experiences in isolation, in quarantine, and also spoke about contingency plans in terms of governance for the city. What do we know about that in terms of the city administration?
Well, the top administrators at the city are, and many of them have come into close proximity with the mayor over the past few days, and so number of them are actually going into self-quarantine. I understand that a number of them are actually going to be tested as well as the elected commissioners. There are concerns, obviously, about making sure that there are the right decision makers in place to keep government functioning as normal. The city has been for some time planning on a contingency plan that would require the city to function with a certain percentage of its workforce at home or not working at all. So they have been making a plan for what if people could not actually perform their work functions. And that is being figured in part on some level right now.
And what kind of preparedness are the city departments to do that kind of remote work?
Right now, the city is actually implementing a if you can work from home structure where they don't have a mass concentration of municipal workers in the administration building downtown or at City Hall. They want to keep people who can perform their work functions at home so that there aren't there aren't there isn't a high concentration of municipal workers in any one spot in a right. city in a city facility. So that's part of what they're doing. They want to be able to keep people fresh too, and that's something the city manager actually expressed to me, is the idea of like rotating people in and out too, so that if there are functions that need tending to at city facilities, you know, they don't have to go in necessarily every day. So they're trying to maneuver that and keep things going.
Joy Fletches, thanks for sharing your reporting with us here on the Roundup. Always great to have you on, sir.
Thank you.
Dr. Boyer, how about this idea of working remotely? A lot of companies are instituting it or trying to figure out a way to institute it.
So I think that speaks to the community engagement that we're all in this together and that we'll get through this together. And if there's initiatives to potentially avoid, quote unquote, mass gatherings, whatever number you choose to define that, and, you know, if there's legitimate ways.
I laugh because, right, it could be a dozen people. It could, I mean, as Mayor Suarez, it takes one.
That's right. That's correct. Yeah. So, you know, if operations could continue through remote settings, then I think that that's a positive initiative, that everybody's, you know, working together, you know, to kind of tackle this as it's new and fresh.
Indeed, that is. Dr. Boyer's with us from Broward Health. Colleen Wright is with us now, education reporter for our partner, the Miami Herald. Lots of questions, Colleen, about education. There's been some decisions made at local universities, certainly waiting for potentially some decisions regarding public school districts. I suppose let's start from kind of the K through 12, and then we'll move up to higher education. What can you tell us about Miami-Dade County right now? What do we know?
There's a lot going on right now. And as far as Miami-Dade County, actually, we don't know a whole lot beyond Ruth K. Broad, Bay Harbor Islands K-8 closing. That was announced. I think the announcement went out at like 4:30 in the morning. We had heard 1 or 2 days ago that there was someone at the Bay Harbor Island City Hall who had tested positive, and this person actually worked in an after-school program at the city and worked
at the school.
At the school, right. Worked with these students in the K-8. It's a big school. It's actually a little bit over capacity. There's, I think, off the top of my head, like a little over 1,400 students there. And it's the first school to close actually in South Florida. It's pretty significant. Yesterday, Miami-Dade and Broward superintendents, they held back-to-back separate press conferences. Both of them doubled down that they do not want to close schools. Broward went ahead.
Business as usual was the phrase that we heard from the superintendent.
From Alberto Carvalho, right. The Miami-Dade superintendent. Yes, he said business as usual. Everything, you know, after-school activities are still on. Regular classes are still on. However, today, all schools are kind of going over how they would conduct remote online learning. If you are in a school with block scheduling, there's all 8 blocks you're doing today. In Broward, however, Superintendent Robert Runcie, and actually the first media availability that had been an announced press conference, said that actually all after-school activities had been canceled. So that is a departure from Miami-Dade.
Yeah, what about athletic programs?
In Broward, all canceled.
All canceled. Miami-Dade?
Still on.
Business as usual.
Business as usual.
And then let's kind of move up into higher education. Miami-Dade College and Broward College, let's start there and what we know, since those student bodies are the largest in terms of the higher education institutions.
Yes. Miami-Dade College, actually, I believe, has, if not the one of the largest, if not the largest, largest undergraduate classes in the country.
Yeah.
Miami-Dade College actually had to shut down its medical campus. That's near the Jackson Health area in Miami, because one of the Bolsonaro's, the Brazilian president,
right.
His press secretary actually tested positive, and he was there for an event earlier this week. So that school has been shut down.
Colleen, let me just interrupt you. We're learning from the Palm Beach Post now here on this Friday afternoon, just about 1:30, that Palm Beach County Public Schools will close all campuses to students next week over the COVID-19 concerns. I believe that may be the first countywide district in Florida to take that step, Colleen. And Palm Beach is, I think, the 4th or 5th largest district in the state.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe there's just been, I think, statewide up until now, like 3 schools that have been closed.
No district-wide closures.
No district-wide. Yeah. So I think you're right that Palm Beach would be the first. And I think that they only had like one or two confirmed
cases, I think,
but
in
later,
the last DOH.
Yes,
right.
It's
only in the last couple of days that those cases have come through.
Right. Meanwhile, Broward leads the state. I think
with
they're
11
at 11.
Cases. That's
right. Miami-Dade
yeah.
now has 2. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that is something.
So, yes, it is. And I can see you texting furiously as you're doing reporting and talking with us here. What about Broward College here?
Broward College announced late last night, too, that they will be shutting down. I want to make the distinction, though, that the colleges, the community colleges, right. are on a different system than the public university.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
while the public universities made a sweeping decision, the Florida Board of Governors made a sweeping decision, colleges are really on their own. They're in a bit of a different spot, obviously. They don't really have students living on campus. Mm-hmm. They're more remote. And also, you're looking at a completely different crop of students. Like Miami-Dade College has been surveying students on their internet connectivity outside of school. That's something you have to consider when you're talking about populations with that are lower income, lower socioeconomic.
Florida International University, Florida Atlantic University, obviously part of the university system in Florida. Are they following those protocols of shutting campus?
Yes, and those protocols are: if you're already on spring break, don't come back. Yeah. It'll be an extended spring break, or if your spring break has already passed, for example, like FIU, you're out for 2 weeks.
And what about residential halls and meal plans for some students?
I believe those you can stay on campus. I believe, although they are urging you, if you can go home, please do.
That's been the situation at the University of Miami, which has been on spring break this week, extending it for a week, and then doing virtual learning for at least a couple of weeks through, I think, early April right now.
Yes, yeah. Everyone is. Yes, if you're in the state university system, everyone is transitioning to online learning.
Dr. Boyer, how about this? Obviously, schools, colleges, universities are big convening spots. Some classes may be only a handful of students. Other classes could be many dozen, if not over 100 students.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to understand that the, viruses don't necessarily respect borders, our tri-county borders. So if there is potential for a patient to be positive, that there certainly could be, flow throughout the other counties. And, I think over time we might see other schools following suit. And if there's ability to learn remotely, then you're kind of weighing the risk and benefit. But, the interesting thing is that the younger population, they're not going to get a severe illness. However, what we're trying to protect and what, sounds like, the community is trying to protect is you're trying to prevent them from then infecting somebody who
right.
might be, more vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's part of goes in suit with everything else we're seeing from the NBA to the NHL to school districts to businesses, mm-hmm. So everybody's just kind of falling in line to feel like they're doing their part.
Colleen, what are some of the considerations that the districts have kind of tried to square here? I mean, certainly in Miami-Dade County, we know from hurricanes, right, that schools are important just in delivering sometimes basic services like meals, for instance, for a good sized population.
Yeah. And, especially Miami-Dade, I will say between Miami-Dade and Broward, Miami-Dade has had, I think, three media availabilities. A fourth one is coming today at 3:15.
Right.
Broward has only had one. Miami-Dade has been way more detailed in its plans. As far as lunches, as you said, like providing meals, 73% of Miami-Dade County Public School students actually qualify for free and reduced lunch. They've asked the federal government to relax some of these restrictions so that they can provide lunches outside and ease these restrictions so that they can actually feed families as well and just feed the whole family. As far as remote learning, like I said, they're already kind of doing a dry run today. There's already protocols, and I'm not sure what the trigger is. I'm not sure what we're waiting on, but we might get more information today.
Yeah, Doctor, I was wondering on the kind of trigger question for you, Director of Emergency Medicine at Broward Health. I mean, how should these school leaders think about what's the tipping point to decide to close a school, an individual building, let alone a district? What goes into that calculation, do you think?
I would presume what goes into the calculation is seeing more positive cases coming to light. Potential of, this person might have contacted that person might have contacted that person. And, they really just want to take a measure to potentially, mitigate that. And I think it's a very difficult decision.
Yeah.
I don't envy their position whatsoever because at this time of year you have finals, you have requirements, things of that nature. And I think the tipping point is really for them to really take a hard stand and say, well, we're going to make this big decision in the greater benefit of what we think for being community and containment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it.
Colleen, what are we hearing, if anything, from staff from teachers, from others about these decisions and how they'd like them to be made?
Well, actually, the United Teachers of Dade, home to the largest teachers union in the state, actually sent out an email earlier this morning saying teachers need to exercise their rights if they want to opt out of duties because they're they think that they're in a hazardous and unsafe work environment, that you can take advantage of your contractual duties and what's in your contract to opt out. And UTD President Carla Hernandez-Matz is actually calling on the district to cancel schools. She's come out pretty strongly about that today. But that changes. Even in Broward, Broward is not calling for that, but what they are calling for is an early spring break. Both Miami-Dade and Broward go on spring break, not starting this coming Monday, but the next following
Monday.
We get
a 23rd, right?
Right.
Yep.
But even, I spoke with the statewide teachers union president, Frederick Ingram. He's the president of the Florida Education Association. And he was even saying that, it's got to be a case-by-case basis, kind of local control. So even he doesn't really have kind of a statewide, he doesn't believe that there should be a statewide decision, because I've kind of been pointing out, and I'm working on a story actually right now, saying there's not a lot coming from the top.
Right.
It does seem to be kind of on a county-by-county basis, and I'm not sure if that's best practices or not, but we'll have to see. I mean, this is unprecedented. Nobody really knows how to act. And Fed Ingram actually had a point, like, there is no right or wrong. Everybody's just kind of operating on the best information that they have.
You think, is there a right or wrong in this? Doctors, you mentioned it's an unenviable position to be in, to have to make that decision. But I suppose you'd rather be wrong and early than right and late.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the theory behind it is kind of bite the bullet now to help mitigate things. And if containment as far as expanding to closing schools could flatten the curve potentially of cases coming in and surge and capacity, and then even move us more into the summer months, where you might even get a seasonal variant on the virus, we could maybe inhibit it, so you're kind of trying to put your chips in now to see if they'll pay off.
Flatten the infection curve, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's correct. Lengthen it out, but to keep it under maximum capacity in the healthcare system.
Bingo.
Dr. Evan Boyer is with us with Broward Health. He's going to stick around. Colleen, thanks for taking some time out. I know you're multitasking there on many screens and headphones and everything, but thanks for sharing the reporting. Appreciate it.
Always good to be on. Thanks.
Colleen Wright, education reporter with our partner, the Miami Herald. We got more to come here on the South Florida Roundup, a special pledge edition. It's still all ahead. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the South Florida Roundup on WLRN, the special pledge edition. The pledge line remains open during our programming. Thanks again for supporting public radio. The COVID-19 virus information continuing to come in fast here on this Friday afternoon. Dr. Evan Boyer is still with us. He's chief of emergency medicine at Broward Health. Dr. Boyer, our WLRN Broward County reporter Katie Swatowski is reporting that the mayor of Fort Lauderdale has now declared a state of emergency for the city of Fort Lauderdale. I'm wondering, what do these declarations mean for you and your staff at Broward Health and the preparations?
Well, as you mentioned, that news comes in, by the minute.
Yeah.
And based on whatever resources might need to be mobilized to stay congruent with what the community is doing, we would parallel that at the at our health system. And, over the last few weeks or so, we've been kind of anticipating that this might be kind of coming about.
What's that anticipation look like on the ground in your ERs?
Yeah, so there's a lot of, behind the scenes kind of evaluation of the situation of, okay, where do we see ourselves in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, so that we could start to have plans and processes in place. So when things start to come to light, we're just ready to kind of implement the next phase,
What can you share with us as we had a handful of cases in Florida a week ago, and here we are with a few dozen now?
Yeah. So from the beginning, if you will, we essentially started a kind of preempt triage screening, which kind of preceded cases even in Broward County.
Mm-hmm.
We even actually worked on that preceding cases in Florida. And then from that, you start to kind of map out your areas in your hospital that you're going to use, and then you start to even turn to visitors. So within the past week, we started to curtail that and ask screening questions, and it's been well received. People understand that, this is a partnership. These are just kind of the phases that we've been going through.
And what about precautions for you and your fellow healthcare workers. The reporting that I have done for a number of years, but there's one of the many concerns in the healthcare industry is that this virus and how the outbreak manifests itself could really show the vulnerabilities in terms of labor supply when it comes for the healthcare field.
Yeah, so that would be twofold, if you will.
Yeah.
If there was surge of cases of any illness,
yeah.
Regardless corona or not, then you have to make sure that you have your adequate staffing patterns in order to parallel that. As far as being potentially exposed, where then you have to talk about patient tracing and quarantine of providers, you would hope to mitigate that by staying ahead of that. That's why we have these really strict screening questions and really kind of really taking it to the next level so that everybody's protected until we could rule things out. And then you could kind of tone it down.
When it comes to protection for the healthcare worker, what kind of supplies are necessary? What do you have and what do you need?
Yeah, so typically what's necessary is to make sure they have the appropriate personal protective equipment, such as goggles, masks, gowns, gloves. And the type of mask kind of varies on the situation, if you will. And, you know, we have to be cautious with our supplies,
yeah.
Like the rest of the state, like the rest of the nation. So we have to use it appropriately so that we're, you know, we don't have to run into a problem there.
It extends to the radio studio. I'll share with our audience before we sat down, we do have some antibacterial wipes here in the studio. And we offered you one, and you said, do you have one to spare that I can use? You're certainly wary of everyone's inventory of these kind of cleaning materials. One industry that's squarely in focus beyond certainly the healthcare delivery industry is the cruise ship industry. On Thursday, Princess Cruises, owned by Carnival Corporation based in Doral, announced it's suspending global operations for 60 days, six of the cruise line's 18 ships were based at Port Everglades in Fort Lauderdale. Taylor Dolvin is with us now, covering tourism for our partner, the Miami Herald, with us via FaceTime. Taylor, welcome back to the South Florida Roundup. Thanks for your time today. Taylor, can you hear us? We'll connect with Taylor just as soon as we can. Dr. Boyer, we have seen the cruise industry really under scrutiny here. What kinds of special precautions ought those that work in the cruise field or on the ports, even on the cargo side of that business, what should they be thinking about?
Well, I think first and foremost, they just need to assess themselves, really. If they start to come down with symptoms, then that puts them into kind of a different category, if you will.
Yeah.
If they, you know, based on what the quote-unquote potential exposure could have been, if they feel fine, if they don't have any symptoms, then really it's business as usual for them. However, if they start to come down with the symptoms, then by all means, they can contact the Department of Health, get some guidance on, you know, what you should do. But regardless of coronavirus, just take influenza, for example. It's just really community involvement where if you have high fevers and you're coughing and you have colds, you typically should stay home.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, regardless of what outbreak we're in, if you will, these are kind of common practices. So that's what should be focusing on.
Taylor, I think you're with us now. Can you hear us okay?
I can. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Taylor Dolvin, covering tourism for our partner, the Miami Herald. What are you hearing from cruise industry leaders about making the kinds of decisions to essentially dock a fleet of ships under one brand from Carnival Corp?
I'm hearing every company, all based here in Miami, are evaluating this decision, whether to continue cruising with more restrictions like age limits and tighter health screenings, or to call off cruising like we saw Princess Cruises do this week.
Yeah. What have you been able to learn about that decision, the TikTok kind of leading up to that decision? What were the considerations the Carnival was thinking about, and you know, kind of what is the message to the other cruise line companies that are big employers here?
With two of their ships quarantined, first the Diamond Princess in Japan and then the Grand Princess in California, my understanding is the company is exhausted having to deal with this on a day-to-day basis and needs to sort of reset. And companies are all going to have to make this decision on their own. Two other Carnival Corporation brands, AIDA and Costa Cruises, announced this morning they're also suspending operations through March. So I think
and those are European-based, right, I think? Costa's in Italy.
Yep, they do have Caribbean cruises, though.
They do. Okay, good to know. And then what about the impact on employees of those ships? Have you been able to learn anything with the reporting yet?
Yes, we definitely know there's been a spike in cancellations, and that's definitely hurting sales employees that rely on commission. I've also spoken to workers, crew aboard these ships who are really terrified about getting the virus on board, but also losing their jobs. Yeah. There are rumors going around that, you know, crew's going to be sent home if ships continue to be as empty as they are.
Taylor, we'll leave it there, but thank you for your time today here on FaceTime. Taylor Dolvin, covering tourism for our partner, the Miami Herald. Dr. Boyer, finally, just about 30 seconds here. Tips over the weekend as the news flow is likely to pick up.
Yeah, so tips would be to stay tuned to programs like this so you get up-to-date current information and could be guided appropriately to what the community leadership, either whether it's in medicine or your local officials are guiding you to do. You know, in the interim, you know, everybody kind of stay safe, you know, wash your hands. Make sure that you're taking appropriate precautions and
social distancing.
Social distancing is appreciated. Hmm. But, I think that a take home point could be that I firmly believe we'll get through this and we'll get through it together.
Dr. Boyer, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for sharing your expertise with us and our WLRN audience. Much appreciated. Evan Boyer, the head of emergency medicine at Broward Health.